Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
It's time to get real gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Here's your host, James Riley.
Hey, this is Jammin' James Riley on your favorite hour for great music and interviews. It's the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. This hour, we spend time with J.D. McPherson.
Ever since I got that guitar, man, everything that was coming out was ratty sounding. It was like, it's funny, people say guitars have songs in them. That guitar had a record in it, for sure.
So much more from J.D. as we talk about his new record, Undivided Heart and Soul, and so much more. Let's kick it off with a tune from J.D. McPherson. Comes to us from the Mr. Peabody and Sherman Show soundtrack. It's Crazy Horse.
Hey, this is J.D. McPherson. Keep it right here for more of the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
Jammin' James Riley on location here in Nashville with J.D. McPherson. J.D., it's so good to see you again.
Good to see you too, buddy.
We have a brand new record, Undivided Heart and Soul. We're going to talk about that on New West Records. But we'll back up a little bit. You moved to Nashville, a year or two ago?
Yeah, about 2 years ago. The first year we were sort of down in the Franklin area, kind of scoping things out. And then last August we moved into town proper.
So besides the crazy traffic, what's been tough to get used to? Or has it been an easy transition coming from the Tulsa area?
For me, the only issue is the traffic. Everything else is, it's pretty easy to get here and get settled. The school systems was a little hurdle, but we got over that pretty quickly. But the traffic persists.
So you moved to New West Records recently. How'd that come about?
Well, we found ourselves looking for a place to live, and we talked to a few labels, and probably the biggest draw for me for New West was that George Fontaine Sr. is a massive music fan, and I think his record collection is, he's got a couple warehouses full of records, I think. But anyway, so we could really talk about music. And then, they were bringing on a really great team. And it just seemed like kind of an exciting time because they had just moved over in Berry Hill and they had just kind of getting things started, because for a while they were based down in Athens, Georgia. And so they just set up shop up here and were kind of starting something exciting. And they were enthusiastic about working together, and there's nothing more infectious than enthusiasm.
It's interesting. Last time we talked, I was joking that was it tough not to geek out opening up for Robert Plant, and your response was, I did geek out.
Yeah.
Now, you also just recently opened up for Brian Setzer Orchestra. That had to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I already had my chance to geek out on him a while back. We played in Minneapolis in First Ave. And I think maybe in the last time we played there, you know, he lives there, and he showed up. We were after the show, we were just in the green room, and here comes Brian Setzer wearing brothel creepers and a drape coat, and just about fell on the floor. And he, I just remember the first thing he said was, "Why don't you put a little more energy into that show? Why don't you?" You know, and we were all laughing and stuff. Yeah, he was. That was a big deal meeting him.
Is that intimidating? I mean, obviously knowing how much he's known for guitar playing and everything too, is that intimidating to try to share a bill with someone like that?
Well, so Brian Setzer is a guitar player. I'm more of a guitar owner. So no, there's no pressure. I mean, there's not. There's just no way I could ever do that. Like, I can't do what he does. It's a physical impossibility, mental too. So yeah, he is what he is, and I love it. But yeah, there's no real danger of me like horning in on his scene at all. I just enjoy it.
Years ago, when you first got signed, the album was picked up on Rounder. I sent a copy over to Dion, who I just knew would love your record. And then a couple weeks later, he was sent me a text. I guess he was with somebody, couldn't think of your name. And he was like, "Hey, who's that guy that sounds like Little Richard? You know, that young kid." And so I was like, "Okay, I think you know who you're talking about. That's J.D. McPherson." And he loves the project. But the cool thing, fast forward to now, is that you have your own sound. You say J.D. McPherson, people know the sound. And even this new record really kind of expands on that. There's still a core J.D. McPherson sound, and now you are used to describe other people. I see other artists now that kind of, I will see your name being as a description of, it has a bit of a J.D. McPherson, and the cool thing is we all know what it sounds like, so that's a pretty cool thing. And how would you describe a J.D. McPherson sound?
Well, first and foremost, we're a rock and roll band, and I'm a rock and roll fanatic, and it's all I've ever really cared about. So that's going to be always heavily prevalent, whether that's, you know, talking about kind of a jump blues thing, or whether it's talking about Mark Bolan and T-Rex. Like, I just love rock and roll music. So that's a big thing, and that's going to probably always be there. But I'm a sucker for sort of atmospheric, kind of dreamy 12-8 ballads. So I tend to have one or two of those usually pop up, and I just remember being a kid and watching Twin Peaks, and I had the VHS set. I watched it every fall, and I think that soundtrack made a really big impression on me. And I think there's an element of that kind of airy, jazzy, spaced out Angelo Badalamenti idea in there. So, I mean, I guess if you think about it, it's just like everybody else. It's just a product of what I grew up listening to. So, it was like 75% rock and roll music and then a smattering of everything else.
Yeah.
And so that kind of may be the sound, I guess.
Left alone and unrequited. don't lead with songs of praise. Ever faithful.
It's Undivided Heart and Soul, the title cut from the new album by our guest, J.D. McPherson.
You guys play out a lot. You play with other artists, play in some other festivals. Have you had artists come up to you that have surprised you, that they're familiar with your stuff and big fans of your music?
No, well, to think about that, I mean, we've had this really weird, from the beginning, we've had this really weird mix of artists take us out with them. We played with Bob Seger, we played with Dan, we played with Eric Church, we played with Queens of the Stone Age, and of course Robert Plant. So I don't know how to say, like, it's just weird that we've been able to fit in with all these different bands, you know. And I think ultimately it's just people like rock and roll music, and rock and roll should go together with other kinds of music pretty easily. But yeah, I don't know, if you had to explain, like, there's a lot, not a lot of other bands that you'd see fitting in with Dave Matthews and Queens of the Stone Age, so I don't know what to say.
And the Mavericks.
Yeah, oh, the Mavericks, of course, hold me, I mean, I'm like, every time we get to play the Mavericks, I'm just like over the moon. I watch every show. I stay like right at the side of the stage. I kind of split my time between Jerry Dale's side of the stage and Eddie Perez's side of the stage, because they're both such amazing performers. And I don't know, I love the Maverick show. It's amazing.
Let's play a track now from our guest, J.D. McPherson, and a collaboration he did with Pokey LaFarge on the Bob Wills tune, Good Old Oklahoma.
Grows in the treetops, and the birds sing a sweet melody. Oklahoma, your land of the Sooner, and the people are always carefree. I declare we love it, we're crazy about it. Oklahoma, we love you, you know. Never forget your good people, and we'll praise you wherever we go. As we travel the long lonesome highway, we meet people here and there, crossing the wide ranging mountains where there's beauty beyond all compare. Oklahoma, we love you, you know, and we'll never forget your good people, and we'll praise you wherever we go.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard a single from a few years back from Pokey LaFarge, and our guest this week, J.D. McPherson. That was their cover of the Bob Wills tune, Good Old Oklahoma. I caught up with J.D. before a show in Nashville, Tennessee to talk about his new album, Undivided Heart and Soul. We'll get back to that chat after we go back even a few more years to his band he had in Oklahoma called the Starkweather Boys. This is Little May on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Little May by the Starkweather Boys. Going back to 2007 from the album Archer Street Blues and featuring our guest, J.D. McPherson. We met up to talk about his 2017 release, Undivided Heart and Soul.
So your third album, what were some of the challenges you faced as you were going into this?
And James, like pretty much everything you can think of. Writer's block, pretty substantial writer's block, a little bit of band infighting. We had a bunch of false starts, had a producer cancel on us, running out of money, burning through the budget, crisis of material. The songs that I was coming up with, or the sparks of the idea, the things that I kind of wanted to do, were just left of center enough that were giving me pause. You know, is this something that people are even going to want to listen to? And I mean, pretty much every everything you can think of was going wrong until it started going right.
You recorded at RCA Studio B. I used to work directly across the street from there for years. I would always look out there and look at the tours. In fact, sometimes I would kind of sneak in and behind people in the tours, and they'd turn around and look at me and realize I wasn't part of the group. But it's a pretty amazing place. It's similar to, like, you walk into Sun Records or Phillips Recording Studio there in Memphis, you just feel the energy there. What was it like, you know, just walking in there the first time?
Well, the idea came about from my good friend Scott McEwen that we sort of had run out of options because we needed to get working right away. And, you know, studios book up pretty quick around here, so we didn't really know what we were going to do. We actually talked about going to Memphis or and a couple other things. At some point, I think we were talking about renting a hotel and recording in a hotel room. So at some point, Scott brought up, well, what about like a studio that's not a studio? What about a museum? Like, what about RCA Studio B? And I laughed out loud. I was like, yeah, that's hilarious. That would be really funny if we got to record at RCA Studio B. And he's like, no, man, I mean, you know, a couple people at the Hall of Fame, just write them and ask them. And they wrote back and said, yes, you can record. They said, you can record a couple of songs. And so when I went in there, it was actually the first time I had been in there. I'd only read about it at that point, but we walked in and Justin, the studio manager, met us. And I have to do this here. It has to happen here. It can't happen anywhere else. And I was trying to think, and this is like an internal dialogue that I was having with myself, you know, don't blow it, don't mess this up, you know? And I just said, well, the Hall of Fame says that we can do a couple of songs here. And he just said, oh, you know, not much is going on. Why don't you guys just do the whole record here? And I just almost passed out. And so that was really it. It was such an act of kindness for the staff there, who aren't really, you know, they're not supposed to stay past tour time to basically stay and help us kind of just get situated and stay with us every night. It was a real special kindness on their part too.
In case people are wondering who all's recorded there, Elvis, Roy Orbison, Everly Brothers, you know, no pressure whatsoever. Now, you also had to, which I thought was interesting, because it is a museum and they give tours, you had to set up and tear down, you know, the same night, every night before doing that.
So usually when you're in a studio and you're in there for like, you know, a week, there's guitars like laying face down on the floor. There's, you know, spaghetti cables everywhere. There's like empty teacups around and empty beer bottles or whatever. There's papers all over the floor. This was not the case in this scenario, because we did have to load in and load out every single day. It was like super Spartan. And, you know, we started off having like 20, 30 amps there to choose from. And then that got whittled down to one amp, one guitar, you know, it was just super, super sparse because you start getting tired of dragging everything in and out. But in a way, that sort of helped give the record a personality in a way, you know, limited options and options that were not previously available really helped shape what this record turned out to be.
Were there some instruments around that you were able to use or other things?
Yes, there were. There was a lot of the outboard gear and the console weren't really usable. I think they had a couple of compressors, but the big stuff that was there that really made a difference was the echo chamber that was still operational, a couple of plate reverbs, EMTs, and then the piano, the grand piano, the Floyd Kramer piano. We used that. And then there was a vibraphone there that was the same vibraphone that was on Crying, like at the beginning of Roy Orbison's Crying.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while.
That's the vibraphone. So if you would ever told me 10 years ago that I would be making a record that had a vibraphone on it, I would have laughed, but we couldn't keep our hands off of it.
Don't pass my doorstep if you're hunting for sugar. I'd offer shelter to a weary traveler. I
if you're hunting for sugar.
Jam and James Riley, and you're tuned to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard our guest, J.D. McPherson, and Hunting for Sugar appears on the 2017 release Undivided Heart and Soul. We'll get back to our chat, but first, let's hear J.D.'s guest appearance on the Shovels and Rope album Busted Jukebox Volume 1, and the tune Nothing Takes the Place of You.
Place of you. cause without you, oh, nothing seems the same. So I'll wait until you're home. Again, I love you, but I'm all alone.
Shovels and Rope and J.D. McPherson. Nothing takes the place of you. Let's get back to our chat with J.D. McPherson.
Bloodhound Rock, man. I love that song. That has to be a fun one to play live.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, that's a real fun one. That one was one of the last ones we did, and it was one of those things where it's like I wanted to have something in that sort of rhythm or that cadence. We call it a blues bopper because there's this dance the Europeans do to that. That's like the same as Wolf Teeth, basically. You know, it's like Jimmy Reed, Slim Harpo did a bunch of songs with that kind of. It's kind of boneheaded and like doesn't really swing that much, but it's almost like an implied swing. I don't know. I love that kind of stuff. But that thing was like pieced together like you wouldn't believe. And it was all spliced together. And then we had this intro and outro because one was separate from the other. And then another point, they both became one thing. And people probably aren't going to like hearing this, but I mean, we built those drums up. That drum part is a loop basically that's built up from like three different drum parts. We did the straight one that you really hear, and then we did another pass of Jason playing the toms that's almost completely the aux end through the echo chamber. So it's not really the sound of the drums, it's the sound of the reverb tail.
Wow.
And then we had a percussion track, and then we had a big kick that we added to it, and we smushed that all together, and that became the foundation for that song. That was actually the most exciting part for me, was really getting to experiment with things like that we hadn't done before. It may also surprise some of your listeners to think that I have a really pragmatic approach to music and recording music. I really don't think there are any rules, I'm not afraid of the digital world. I'm not afraid of a Radio Shack microphone. I'm not afraid of sticking microphones inside a drum case and seeing what that sounds like. It's just all a big experiment.
That's cool. It sounds like the Good Vibrations.
It is. Actually, Dan Mola, the guy that produced the record, said, this is like a weird Brian Wilson blues record, that song. And yeah, that was fun. It's funny that you bring that up because that's exactly what he said.
Thank you.
From the album Undivided Heart and Soul, that's our guest, J.D. McPherson, and Bloodhound Rock. And we just heard him tell us how that song was pieced together.
One thing I noticed listening to this record, it feels, you know, I know you guys toured for a ton on the first album when it initially came out, and then even on Rounder, and it took a while for the second album to come around. This feels, and maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like it's, you're even more comfortable. It feels like maybe it's the most comfortable I've heard you.
So yes, it is, but it was very uncomfortable getting to that point. It was a lot of discomfort followed by sort of a relief, you know. It was really, really hard to get this record made. And like I said, almost everything that could have gone wrong did. And not only just in reality, but in my head, you know, I was working really hard to sort of make things mesh. But now that it's done, yeah, I'm really proud of it. And it's just another album. And I'm not sure what the next thing is going to be like, but I'm very proud of this one.
I remember when I first got the single for Lucky Penny, I sent you out a text, and man, I love this. I had no idea. And you said it's a little fuzzier than normal. How's the response been from folks that familiar with your first two records and then this one, which keeps some of the core but definitely expands on it?
Well, I can only speak for people at the shows because I don't use social media, so I have no idea what people are saying on the internet, which that doesn't really bother me anyway. I mean, that's fine. But the shows have been great. I mean, the shows are wonderful since we released. And, there's friends in different towns that'll come up and they'll say, sometimes they'll surprise me by saying that they really like this or that. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I think the main thing is that knowing how I feel about the music, it's not coming from a place of I'm going to purposely throw some kind of monkey wrench in there. It's like, I just want to, you know, what really, really happened was I started off on this little journey in Austin, Texas by buying a 1961 Supro Dual Tone, which is the one that Link Ray's holding in all the pictures. Ever since I got that guitar, man, everything that was coming out was ratty sounding. It was like, so the more, like, it's funny, like people say guitars have songs in them. That guitar had a record in it for sure. So keep me out of the music stores, or like, you know, don't put an accordion in my hand because I don't know what's going to happen.
This lucky penny's been nothing but bad luck.
Stay tuned for more with J.D. McPherson coming up. It's your source for rockabilly, blues, early country, early rock and roll, Ameripolitan music. This is the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Our guest this week is J.D. McPherson. We've been chatting about his latest project, Undivided Heart and Soul, on New West Records. We're going to wrap things up with him in just a moment, as well as get a song request from him. But first, let's hear a track from an album he produced for The Cactus Blossoms. The first time I saw them live was at a show they were opening for J.D. This is from the album You're Dreaming, and the track, Mississippi.
Hey, this is Paige, and I'm Jack from The Cactus Blossoms. You're listening to our friend Jammin' James Riley on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
I'm going down. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P. I watch the sun, yellow and brown, sinking suns in every town. My angel sings somewhere on the shore waiting for me, with her wet hair and sandy gown, singing songs, waves of sound. There's a dive I know on River Street. Go on in and take my
my seat. There's a lot of friends I'll never meet. I'm gonna take a dive off River Street. You look different from way down here, like a circus mirror. I see flashes of you on the surface.
It's a tune, Mississippi, by the Cactus Blossoms, produced by our guest, J.D. McPherson.
What's coming up in 2018 for you?
Well, we're going to go to Europe in February. That's going to be a good long tour. That's looking to be really good. That's going to be our biggest club date to date in London. We're going to play Shepherd's Bush Empire, which is, that's the biggest venue we've played so far. Festivals all summer. I'm already starting to write. I'm not going to wait another 2.5-3 years again for the fourth record. I'm excited again, you know? So, yeah, the main thing right now is we're having such a good time playing the new songs.
So do I need to call somebody at Sun Records, see if the studio's free for you?
You know, we recorded at Sun. We did a thing for that public television program, and I've got some stuff on my laptop that we never released from there. I don't know. Maybe we'll see about putting that out one day. But we had to, like, do a couple of covers. We did a little Junior Parker cover that sounds exactly like... It sounds exactly like a Sun Blues record. And so, I don't know, maybe we'll hold on to that for a little while, but that's a super special room.
Oh my gosh, yeah, unbelievable. Well, so last time I asked you for a request, and you asked for Sonny Burgess, who unfortunately passed away. So I'm going to put you on the spot again. What request would you like to hear this time?
I'd love to hear, I'm on kind of a Pat Cup kick. I really like, I guess it's Meant That Way. Is that the name of the song? I think that's the name of the song. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's got such a weird flat tire groove, and he's such an unusual singer. I love Pat Cut, man. It's like really desperate and kind of has a humorous element to it that I really like.
Big Sandy requested him one time when I had
really?
Him on. Absolutely. Man, thanks so much for spending the time. I can't wait to see the show tonight. It's raining out there. It's like a scene from Caddyshack, but it should be a fun show.
Yeah, it's going to be a great night. Thanks so much for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Baby, but they're gonna come back to me someday.
I guess it's meant that way. Yeah, now everybody knows
that you're leaving, and everybody knows how much I'm grieving.
I guess
it's meant that way. Yeah, you spent your time making me blue, and all the time I was true to you. Now one of these days you're gonna live alone. Come back, I won't be home.
You left once beforehand, came
back knocking on my door.
I guess
it's meant that way.
You
can never tell me what I do wrong. You just up and leave me singing the song. I guess it's meant that way. Yes, it's happened before, and I tried to be good, but I guess I didn't do something I should. I guess it's meant that way. Yeah, you spent your time making me blue, and all the time I was true to you. Now one of these days you're gonna live alone. Come back and want me home. You left once beforehand, came back knocking on the door. I guess it's meant that way. Go, John. Now I won't be around to hear you explain. I guess it's meant that way. Oh, I'm getting tired of being pushed around. It's over now and I'm leaving this town. I guess it's meant that way. Yeah, you spent your time making me blue, and all the time I was true to you. Now one of these days you're gonna live alone. Come back, I won't be home. You left once beforehand, came back knocking on the door. I guess it's meant that way. Yeah, I guess it meant that way. Yeah, I guess it meant that way. Oh, I guess it meant that way. I guess it meant that way. Yeah, I guess it meant that way.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Sutton, and you're listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
Someone, so how come no one wants me?
couple of tunes featuring J.D. McPherson's band members. We heard from Eddie Angel and So How Come No One Loves Me, featuring on drums Jason Smay, who used to also be in Little Street Jackets with Eddie before joining J.D.'s band. Before that, Jimmy Sutton's Four Charms and the tune Up Jump the Devil. Now, Jimmy, of course, is the bassist with J.D. You've seen them live, and you know how much Jimmy and the rest of the fellas bring to the table as well. Now, you've been listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Stay tuned for more great music and interviews. And as always, it's Jammin' James Riley saying keep on rockin'.